Tusai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Placing my most humble pranams at the lotus feet of the voice and listener, the heart and soul of Radio Sai Global Harmony, that is Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Dear listeners, I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai, and a very good morning and greetings to all of you, and loving Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. This is a segment, Morning Glory, and I welcome you all for today's Thursday Live. Live hosting and broadcasting from Radio Sai Studios. The time in our studio right now is exactly 9:40 a.m. Indian Standard Time, and today is 4th of October 2018. Just now the Vedam and Bhajan sessions concluded in Sai Granth Hall, and as I am speaking to you right now, Swami's devotees have lined up in Sai Granth Hall to offer their pranams to Swami. And dear listeners, I hope you all enjoyed the bhajan session and Vedam session, which came to you live from Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. Well, 2 days ago, that is 2nd of October, was the 150th birth anniversary of Mahatma Gandhi, the father of our nation, the father of our, of the country India, of our nation. And a happy Gandhi Jayanti, a belated happy Gandhi Jayanti to all of you. Well, on 2nd of October, we all celebrated here the Sai Sanidhi Day also. Well, Sai Sanidhi is a group of members who are the alumni of the various Sai institutions here. So we all celebrated 2nd of October here. This year has Sai Sanidhi Day, and there were programs in Sai Granth Hall as part of it. Basically, it's our gratitude, it's our way of presenting, showing our gratitude to Swami for showering His love on us, for recruiting us on different institute of Swami's organization. Well, dear listeners, this is the month of October, and we are going to witness the celebration of the festival Dasara. It's going to start from 10th of this month. From 13th of the month of this month, we will be witnessing the Veda Purusha Satta Jnana Yajnam, which will be there for 7 days in Purnachandra Auditorium as part of Dasara celebration. And there will also be the celebration of Vidwan Mahasabha in Sai Granth Hall. And everything will be webcast live from Radio Sai website. You can watch them, the videos, the programs, everything can be watched live from Radio Sai website, radiosai.org. Alright, let's now come to the segment Morning Glory. As always, I've got two interviews lined up for you. And generally, on every Morning Glory, we have an interview from the radio series Fleeting Moments and another interview from the radio series Tryst with Divinity. But today, for a change, we are going to have both the interviews from the radio series Tryst with Divinity, that is, conversation with Swami's devotees, sharing their experiences with Bhagwan. So the first interview that I'll be playing for you is a continuation from the interview that was played last week. It is with Dr. Sridharan Hariharan. And today you're going to listen to the third and concluding part. The first two parts were played previous 2 weeks. In case, dear listeners, you have missed listening to them, please download it from our website, radioside.org, and please listen to them. So today you will be listening to the third and concluding part. And after the conversation with the Dr. Sridharan Hariharan, I'll be playing for you another episode from Tryst with Divinity series, conversation with Mr. Mahesh Chandra Mehta. And both this conversation, in conversation with both these guests, will be Radio Sai's Bishop Prashti. So these are the two interviews which you will be listening to in today's Morning Glory. But before I play for you these interviews, dear listeners, I want to ask you all a question. And I'll be waiting for your reply. Please reply to my question through email. Well, the question is very simple. I wanted to keep it simple because I want to know how many of you are really listening to me right now, listening to Morning Glory, listening to Thursday Live. And I want to know how many of you are paying attention. So the question is very simple. As this month we are going to witness the Veda Purusha Satna Jnana Yajnam, my question is, which was the year when Swami inaugurated the Veda Purusha Satna Jnana Yajnam? That is, which was the year when Swami first started the Veda Purusha Satna Jnana Yajnam in Prashanti Nilayam? Very simple question, so tell me the year. And I've got four options for you to make it more simple. The four options are 1960, 1961, 1962, or 1963. So which year Swami inaugurated the Veda Purusha Satta Jnana Yajnam? Please email the right answer to my email ID, that is raghu@radiosai.org right now. raghu@radiosai.org, R-A-G-H-U, raghu@radiosai.org. So email me the correct answer right now to my email ID. And the question is, which year Swami inaugurated Veda Purusha Satta Jnana Yajnam? And the four options are 1960, 1961, 1962, or 1963. All right, dear listeners, let's now listen to the two interviews. And at 11 o'clock, I'll be back again. And by then, I'll check my email and I'll tell the names of the listeners who have given me the correct answer at 11 o'clock. So stay tuned and reply to my email ID, raghu@radiosai.org, the correct answer. So let's now listen to the two interviews for today's Morning Glory.
After 2008, Swami stopped me coming to India. He said, I'll tell you when to come. I didn't even apply for a green card, thinking that Swami will call me. But in 2008, he said, apply for a green card. You should get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I applied. Normally, green card application takes so many years. Within 1 year, I got my green card.
Wow.
Record time. It's all Swami's blessing. And then afterwards, 2011, I wanted to come. That time also Swami, over my dream itself, he showed all the alumni program of January 1st and 2nd, 2 days program they had. All those 2 days program in two dreams, just after the Christmas day, 26th and 27th of December, I have seen it.
Oh, even before the program happened?
Even before the program happened.
Oh my God.
I didn't even, Radio Sai was not there that time.
Yes.
No online yes. Webcasting.
Yes.
Webcasting was, the Radio Sai was there, only audio.
Yes.
No videos that time.
Yes.
Please correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, yeah, true. I mean, Radio Sai came only in 2001, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
They started having plans, but only after I left, I went there, then the Radio Sai came into existence.
Radio Sai came into existence inaugurated in 2001.
Yes.
The web streaming started much later, yes, after Swami left.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Swami has done the web streaming before the event happened.
Dream streaming.
Dream streaming. Mm. And I was still skeptic, my own human mind.
Mm.
Then I came to know that it is true. These are the things happened.
Mm.
After when I got the report by email and internet.
Mm.
So I was very happy that I decided not to do anything. If Swami says no, don't do that.
Mm.
If Swami says do it, do it. Whether you like it or not.
Mm.
He knows what is good for us. I never pray to Swami for any material benefits. I don't know even how to pray. How to pray for asking for things. Swami, give me marks. Swami, give me this. Whatever I prayed was, Swami, I want to be in your institute. I want to receive a certificate from you. Though I got summer course certificate from Swami's hand, that was not enough for me.
Mm.
That kindled in 1977 the eagerness to be part of Sai student community. And it got fulfilled, becoming as a faculty member and culminated with my PhD.
Mm.
And still I am continuing to help the institute in whatever way I can do. And currently, Swami has put me in a very good position with TCS America as a technology lead for data science. And data science is the topic currently everybody talks about it. And institute has started new streams of syllabus and everything. I am very happy to be part of the institute now again, getting back. I just decided, after going to my hometown in US, Texas, I'll be spending all my Saturdays to interact with the students here.
Wow. Amazing.
Especially on data science. And I have already spoken to the faculty members, and we are planning something. So we will start. This is just for one topic we'll take. Then later on, whatever Swami says. I also want to tell that how to teach. Swami has mentioned when I was here, he wanted, before the super specialty hospital came, that time MBA students were there, some students, they used to wait for Swami to tell what to do, and they want to be part of Swami's mission. Swami wanted them to give, or them to have the training in computer operations. Swami, one day morning bhajan time, he came straight to me in the mandir. I was sitting outside in the veranda, not inside the mandir, morning bhajans. Evening bhajans I used to sit inside, morning bhajans I used to enjoy outside. Swami used to spend a lot of time.
Mm.
So he was sitting there, I was looking at Swami, it was almost very few students and staff at the summer time. Suddenly Swami looked at me and straight came from the dais and he asked me, can you teach? I'll give 5 boys. I want you to teach computer science to them. Can you prepare a plan? Then I asked Swami, that time no M.Tech course, nothing. Swami, what should they learn? Whatever you know, they should know.
Oh.
Then next question from me to Swami, everything in the veranda bhajan was going on. Swami asked then, Swami, what is the duration? Within what time frame I should make it? Then Swami said, 1 year, chalo.
Mm-hmm.
Hospital vastundi, maaku kavala.
Mm-hmm. Swami mentioned that.
Swami mentioned.
Hospital is coming up and I want students to be trained on computers.
Mm-hmm. They need to know how to maintain a little bit of software and then some programming and handling database, things like that. So, Swami mentioned the boys, then registrar officially called me, Professor E.S. Rao, and 3 more staff members from management to officially frame the curriculum. It is not part of the university curriculum. It is part of just a training program.
Mm-hmm.
We prepared and then I am very happy to see even two of those students.
Mm.
Kannan, yes. He is IT HOD in yes. the Super Specialty Hospital.
Yes.
And Srinivas Rao, he is in the finance section.
Yeah, they are still there.
They are still there.
Yes.
And even today I visited them.
Mm.
And then whenever I come, I keep interacting with them. I try to help whatever they need from my side. And then those days, that 1 year is a golden year for me.
Mm-hmm.
Swami used to call morning and evening. Whenever he gets time, 5 minutes in the interview room, and he will ask, what happened in today's class?
What are you teaching?
What are you teaching?
Mm.
And what is programming?
Mm.
What is logic? What is flow chart?
Mm.
Swami used to ask these questions to the boys, and he will tell me, see, if they don't understand, give them punishment. And also Swami is in one human aspect.
Mm.
He wants to show as if he is human to the close devotees, like who is getting chance like that.
Mm.
Suddenly one day he called me. He came out for the darshan, in the afternoon darshan. The computer boys were sitting inside bhajan hall. They are all bhajan singers. And then he called me. He very close to me and Swami only can hear. Even the first row boys who were sitting there, birthday boys, they were much behind. Very near the interview room door, he called me and he said, see, Prasad Rao Koduku, Prasad Rao's son, he's having long hair.
Mm-hmm.
So you should scold him. And don't tell that I have asked you to scold. It's a big task.
Mm.
So that type of thing I never experienced. And I had to do some of this one. I thought, okay, let me... evening we used to teach, because 1 year we had finished evening for programming some class. He came. We had a computer programmer with the name Giridhar. He was also there to help in the lab. So he also came. He was having a mustache. He is from outside. He's not Sai student, but he was a very nice boy. And he was, after doing BTEC in engineering college in Trichy, and he joined as a programmer. He was getting used to the Sai culture, and he's a devotee of Shirdi Baba, and then even Swami he knows, and that's how he came. Then I was trying to find, then this Giridhar said that I have got this questions for the boys. We can train and then we can teach them and see how they are doing. So they were all showing their program in the computer. In the evening it was happening. Then this Srinivas, then this boy whom Swami said I should scold, that boy showed his program. Then, what shabby program you are writing? It is as good as your hair.
You told him.
I had to create some scene. Then he should not think that I am scolding only him, because everybody knows that Swami spoke something to me.
Mm.
So I immediately turned to him. See, as the mentors, so the students, you have mustache. He has long hair. So I scolded
both.
Giridhar. Then Giridhar, he straight asked me, what will happen if I remove my mustache? What will happen if I keep my mustache? I said, if Swami wants to give you a ring, he'll give a silver ring to you if you have mustache. If you remove your mustache, he will give a golden ring. It came in my mouth. I didn't mean it. I want somehow make it very heated so that the message goes to that boy. And I said, I don't want to see you tomorrow morning if you are still having it. Make sure that you reduce your hair. He got the message. He went and did. Next day, he had hacks were shortened. Swami looked at me outside. I was sitting outside. Specifically, I didn't want to sit with those boys. Then Swami said, Manchi pani chesao.
You have done a good job.
Yes. And he just mentioned and he went. After 2 days, he called all the boys. he called Giridhar, he called me in the interview room. Just casually, Swami is making us very comfortable there. And then slowly he was talking and he asked that Giridhar, what's your name, Giridhar? So he said, Giridhar Sridhar, Giridhar Sridhar. He was just doing like this. Then he waved his hand and created a silver ring.
Oh.
With Shirdi Baba on it, because he's basically a Shirdi Baba devotee. And Sai is written below. It's a ring, and he put it in his finger. That boy was in, Giridhar was in tears. He didn't expect it. It happened. After coming out of the interview room, he said, see, I should have removed my mustache.
Oh, he didn't remove.
He didn't
this
remove.
This man didn't remove.
Then afterwards he removed. But it's too late. See, how Swami is...
amazing.
See, when such things happens, when Swami wants you to be a good administrator, he was training me also how to be a good administrator. But some criterias are needed, some qualities he was giving to me those days. All those experiences came into my good rapport and everything, even with my clients now.
All these experiences.
I was working in JP Morgan Chase client for 3 years, and one day the manager there asked another colleague of mine, I have some different behavior I'm seeing in this person. He's specifically, he's so good, calm, he's not like others. What is specialty about that person? He asked him. He didn't ask me directly. And to whom he asked, he's also a Sai devotee. He used to come to the Sai Center. He said he's from such a Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Then he showed the website, everything to him. Then he, oh, that's why. It shows how disciplined they are.
Wow. That is our tribute to Swami.
Yes. So, whatever it is, name, I'm getting good name, it is due to Swami. And now, I don't feel, many people used to ask me, I was a devotional coordinator in Houston Sai Center. They used to, the time when Swami entered into cosmic form, from the human form, they were asking so many questions. We had nearly 100 families. And suddenly people started having so many doubts. Is he God? Why he should suffer? And Swami used to prompt me and my wife through dreams and some intuition what answer we should say. I won't say that we are mediator. We are not mediator. This is purely to... Even we also get a doubt when somebody asks questions like that. And Swami clarified that doubt to us using our own old experience with Swami. And then we could reconnect that to tell the devotees. Now we are... People were... Every Sai Center was going down in numbers, number of people. But Houston Sai Center has increased.
Beautiful.
And then now there are more than 200 families in the Sai Center. And Swami has... Swami guides me in the study circle time. I conduct study circles. And I don't want to be as a office bearer. I was there for 4 years. And then I could... Whatever I could share with my bhajan and music experience. There are a lot of good singers now in the center. And seeing that, I am very happy. And they started telling that, don't go. Whenever I tell I want to go back to India, they said, no, we need you. So it's one side Swami is telling, don't go. And other side, the devotees are telling, no, if you go, then our center will be we'll have problem. I am nobody in the center. I am not an office bearer. But anytime anybody has the problem in their day-to-day or in their office or anything, they come to me, our family in Houston. They just tell, can you help us in understanding the situation?
Mm.
And Swami is helping us through our learning and experiences. It's a great, from the childhood when I was fearing for a darkness in the thing, Swami cleared it and he pointed that he is always behind me.
Mm. So you felt that he's always with you, right from your childhood?
Even now, he's listening what I'm telling, just standing behind. If he comes in front, I'll become more devoted and I will not speak.
You cannot even speak.
I can't even speak. There are many times I have cried in front of Swami. Mm. He will ask something, what happened to computers? We had so many problems and maintenance and all.
Mm.
And whenever Swami tells, he said, go and touch the computer. So I'll just go and then pat the computer.
Mm.
Please behave well. And then the computer will start working fine. It has happened.
Wow.
Even today, if you ask anybody in those days in the mathematics department, any problem with any computer keyboard, they'll say, sir, please touch this. So I just have a feeling, this has also got a soul. Swami is in that.
Mm.
Swami, please help this computer to behave.
Mm.
So that's how I do it. I have also got nickname as Brahms.
Brahms?
Brahms. It means I see, they say that I'm just seeing like everybody is Brahman.
Oh, Brahms. Okay.
Brahma.
Yeah.
Brahma consciousness.
So amazing.
It's not anything. I just take it as this thing, that feeling.
Yes.
And Swami has shown so many ways, and for want of time, I don't want to dwell on.
Well, thank you so much. I didn't want to miss this opportunity of having this conversation with you because, you have come all the way from the US, and you should never miss these opportunities to document, because anything good should not be postponed.
Yes.
And so really, thank you so much, sir, for coming. I know what you have shared today is just a glimpse, because so many years with Swami and so many ways Swami has guided you and is continuing to guide you, and you feel his presence in everything.
Every time. Swami is, I never feel, somebody ask, is Swami there now? Yes, Swami is there.
Mm.
And there are also questions coming about, what about Prem Sai?
Mm.
The only answer we give is, that may be right or wrong, we just came to know about Satya Sai and his teachings.
Mm.
Let us practice that.
Yes.
And be part of that mission.
Mm.
Let us not worry about future avatars.
Absolutely.
And that is the only answer I have. If somebody says, he has, Prem Sai has born here, there, everything. Yes, if you believe it, you follow it.
Mm. As Professor Venkatraman used to say, that I know one Sai and he's full of prema.
Yes.
So he is the Prema Sai.
Yes. Yes, many times Swami also said.
Yes.
So let us follow his teachings.
Yeah, I mean, Swami is already, we have him, we have his life, we have
our
his
life
teachings.
Should be followed in that Swami's teaching.
His
when
message.
We say we love Swami, we love his teachings, we follow his teachings.
Yes.
That is where we love Swami.
Yes.
It's not going very close to Swami's physical body and then doing Pad Namaskara, getting something blessed.
Yes.
That is all there in the initial stage. I also have gone through that.
Yes.
There were days Swami used to come and just try and take Pad Namaskara.
Yes.
And then can I mention one small thing?
Sure.
After I joined, I used to get, whenever there's a climate change, cold and cough and headache.
Mm-hmm.
It's a standard.
Mm-hmm.
And then I used to get into antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
Then only it'll go.
Mm.
So I joined in February. March onwards, summer started. So I got a severe cough and I could not speech. I had coughed so many times in the classroom, and the chalk dust was
also bothering me.
So I had a temperature that day. I had a severe headache. I had cold cough. So somebody said, you can go to general hospital. Doctors will give medicine. So I went. Dr. Chari was there. He used to treat all the Sai students, staff of the institute. So he said, first time I was going to the hospital. So you newly joined. I have seen you playing Veena there. And all. He talked to me nicely. This is just a cold cough. You just take this. And he was trying to give some mild medicine. I told, sir, I know about my health. Please prescribe me antibiotics. He shouted at me, what belief you have in Swami? So he shouted, and then with that shouting, he said, since you are asking, he didn't want to say no to a staff member, so he gave antibiotics. After taking that from his hand, I felt, a doctor is giving, scolding me, not taken, still he is giving. So let me take it only after Swami tells. I kept it in the room and came for evening darshan. That time the school final examination, and CBSC admit cards and all were there.
Swami was blessing
students
them.
Were getting. Swami, the boys used to show it, and then Swami will bless. One boy was about to take it from his pocket. Swami said, Nak telusu, your number is this. And he was giving some 10-digit number. And he said, now take out and see, this is your number. And the boy said, yes, Swami. So I have already blessed, Swami said.
I already know the number.
Then I was sitting little this side. I was sitting in the very edge where the curve was going towards the mandir. I was thinking, oh, then Swami should be knowing even my headache, fever and cough. Swami came straight to me. I am sitting there. He has kept his feet in such a way that his feet, the toe is below my feet. That is, when you cross-legged, there's a gap. So there Swami's feet is there. And said, "Naku headache undi kada, panamskaram tisko."
Oh my God. He said, you have headache, take panamskaram.
I was trying to tell Swami, I'm having fever. Swami said, headache potundi, tisko panamskaram.
Take panamskaram.
So there's no way to bend and do namaskar. So I had to just keep my hand on his feet and just put it on my eyes. Then he slowly moved. Bhajan was going on. By the time bhajan went, my headache has gone.
Gone. Wow.
After that incident, I never get headache.
Never? Even the... So during the season changes?
No. I get cold, cough, everything. But Swami didn't give Paranamskar for that.
So headache never happens.
Headache never happens. That is a great blessing.
You can do your work.
I can do my work. So that... I heard that similar thing happened to the erstwhile warden, Jayma Madam also, in her young age. When she had a headache, Swami gave Paranamskar and she did Paranamskar. She had to she bent her head and kept, I didn't even kept my head on Swami's feet. Swami's word is enough.
Word is, wow.
That Swami's single word, headache will go, it will go.
It is gone forever.
It is gone forever. It never comes back. Now, even if somebody says, I am getting headache, I wonder, what is headache? How it is going to be? So, that is how Swami has entered into my life. And then, initially, yes, he even used to tell, don't come to morning darshan without taking breakfast. He used to call that time physical director Venkatesan. He'll tell, go with him to the canteen in the morning, make sure he eats. And then, because I used to come first to have Swami's darshan and then take breakfast. Swami made a point that I eat well. And then he used to ask me, what did you have in breakfast? And as if counter-checking. Those are the initial years. Then later on, that stopped. And there was some time he didn't even talk to me for 1 year. These are all the training he was giving. Testing period. And then sometime there was some period where Swami was talking only to me in the whole this institute campus. Every message he will send through me to the people.
Wow.
And he made sure that I don't get the ego. I just do. Swami says, give this photograph to registrar, I'll go and give it to him. Give this photograph to so-and-so, I'll go and give it to them. So this is, that's how he trained me. And I just be a obedient, or what you say, just like a father says or mother says, the child do this, the child does it. So that type of faith he has inculcated in me. And that is a great boon I got.
And that relationship is eternal. It's there with you all the time now.
That's why I always say, Swami is my eternal companion. Many people say that in the Sai Center, when they say, oh, Samadhi Day. I said, don't say Samadhi Day, it is Aradhana Day.
One more day of prayer.
One more day of prayer. So that's how, so it's, these experiences can go on and on, but what I have learned is every experience is giving a new insight to Swami's glory.
Yes.
And Swami's glory cannot be accounted in numbers. It's like a big jewel, a diamond jewel. You want to find the cuts in the jewel. How many cuts are there? You can never find. So that's how you cannot, you just be immersed in that Swami's glory and enjoy it.
Absolutely. Wow. Wonderful. Thank you so much, sir. You've really filled us with such beautiful moments of revelation and divine love. I think really blessed that, you know, Swami chose you to be part of the university. In fact, when you look at the whole journey, you see that how Swami has, you know, bit by bit, Swami shaped you for the role that he wanted you to play, not only as part of the university as a faculty member, but even beyond that, and you continue to...
I do see this in this effect of Swami's interaction with me in my work life also.
Yes.
So it's all, it's a great blessing for me to relive the memories. I thank the Radio Sai team for giving me time to express my experiences and my feeling and my relation with Swami.
Well, it is our joy. Thank you so much, sir.
Sairam.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to Tryst with Divinity, our series of conversations who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan, who have been inspired by what happens in Prashant Nilayam. And today we have with us in the studios Mr. Mahesh Chandra Mehta, someone who is described as a dedicated, fearless, extremely honest man who pursues his goals with single-minded devotion. He is one-man enviro legal brigade. Mr. Mehta is probably the only Supreme Court lawyer to have taken up legal kudgels with the polluting Indian industries and come out victorious. So he's someone who has believed in himself, who has believed in the power of goodness, believed in the power of nature, which is a blessing and a gift of God. And even as we are speaking in the studios today, the Go Green Conference is going on in Prashant Nilayam, and sir started off this conference. He was the keynote speaker. He spoke in the divine presence of Bhagwan in the Sai Kulwant Hall, creating awareness about what we should do if we say we are Sai devotees, if we say that we subscribe to Swami's message of Vyashti, Samashti, Srishti and Parameshti. Bhagwan talks about this cosmic connection between man, society, nature and God. So sir dwelt on all these aspects in his key address that he gave at the Go Green Conference. So with Bhagwan's grace, we have him with us in the studio. So a warm welcome to you, sir, to the studios
of
Radio Sai.
Thank you.
So first of all, before we hear about your beautiful mission, can we just know from you about how is it to be in Prashantinilam? You've been at so many places, you've traveled extensively around the world, inspiring people to live on the path of truth, to live on the path of goodness. How does it feel stepping into Prashantinilam?
Oh, it is really my wonderful experience, which I had since yesterday. And here it is, the path is towards oneness. And when we talk about oneness, there the whole universe comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really that the people from all over the world, they are streaming over here, they are talking, they are thinking, and they are meditating for a cause. And cause is truth, beauty and virtue.
Yes.
So that's why the conference which was which started yesterday, it was really good, because in the sense, you know, that the environment is an extremely important aspect in life. Without environment we can't survive, we can't live. Every day we need oxygen, the fresh air to breathe, good food to eat, and water to drink. And all these three elements, these are very essential for life. Not only for human beings, but for all living beings. And unfortunately the situation on all the three, whether it is air, water, soil, that is Mother Earth, and the forests, groundwater, the Himalayas, glaciers, when we all talk about these things, they are under serious threat. As human race, we are worried about our survival, and it is because of our follies, the mistakes which the humans, as humans, we are doing.
You have been spending so much time creating awareness about all this. You have someone who has spent hours fighting to save Mother Ganga. You have ensured that 5,000 factories along the river were directed to install pollution control devices, and 300 factories were closed. Approximately 250 towns and cities in the River Ganga basin have been ordered to set up sewage treatment plants. I think those are some fantastic achievements, phenomenal contribution to society, to Indian culture. So how was it taking up this case? You know, what were the challenges? What gave you that inspiration? Because it is not easy when factories are being closed down. There will be enough people against you. There will be, I think, huge negative forces working to destabilize you. How did you manage to counter that, and where did you get the inspiration from?
You see that I started this case, Ganga case, because Ganga is our mother. And it is a river, not a river, it is a force which gives life to all Indians, because we have innate faith in the water, and it is like Amrit.
Yes.
So when I came to know that in 1984 late, that the Ganga water caught fire near Haridwar, so I was surprised at how water can catch fire. So it was a very strange idea to me, the thought. And then I went to see that places, and I came to know that at that time two big industries, they were throwing polluting these pollutants, all toxic waste into the Ganga. They were passing that path, and that what happened with that the toxic waste was just floating over that. The oil and other things, you know, that
effluents from the industries.
Effluents from the industries. And somebody was walking, and he lit a cigarette,
mm-hmm.
and then he threw that towards that side,
the matchstick.
Mm-hmm. And the whole drain caught fire.
Oh my God.
And that was, they could not extinguish that fire for 30 hours.
Oh my God.
So it was that I read in the papers also at that time, and Hindustan Times and other papers, they gave that the Ganges caught fire.
I mean, it reminds me of the Gulf War when you had, you know, oil on the oceans.
And they were
put on fire.
Yes. Yeah. So I investigated, and I found that no, this is the thing which is happening because of the pollutants which are going into the Ganga, all hazardous waste and everything was thrown, and there was no treatment systems there. So as a result, I filed the case for the Ganga Ji, and so then when I filed against these industries, but then later on the whole scope was broadened by the court to the whole of the Ganga, from the beginning of the Ganga to the end of the Ganga.
Wow.
So this has all 2,525 kilometers long stretch, you know, of the Ganga Ji and its tributaries.
Wow.
So all the whole of almost in North India, where all the 7-8 states are there, the industries there, hazardous industries, the polluting industries, and then the municipal bodies, and the other industries, the all sorts of industries, they were made party by the Supreme Court. By issuing notices in the newspapers and through radio and networks. At that time, I'm talking about 84, 85, and the TV was not so popular.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, through radio broadcasts and all that, these things happened. And now, this case has become one of the mammoth case, one of the biggest case, apart from my other case, that is Taj Mahal case.
Yes.
So this is a very important, because it is a lifeline of India.
Absolutely.
And if we how can we lose our mother?
Absolutely.
And that is what is a part of our civilization. It is a part of our culture, and it gives us a spiritual wealth.
Absolutely.
And health and
Absolutely.
Everything.
Absolutely.
You see that I don't think that there is any river in the world which is worshipped as widely as Ganga Ji.
Absolutely.
And,
no doubt in that.
And two is that the Ganga Ji is not only giving the Ganga Jal to the people, those who take carry, but it is a wish of the people to that their ashes should be put into the Ganges, and then all the rituals that takes place over there. So this is a part of this whole culture.
Absolutely.
So that is how it is happening with this Ganga Ji. And then later on, what happened that the court started taking action against the most polluting industries. Then it was taken every week, and then sometimes in every day was being taken. And the court, the Supreme Court of India, really acted as a savior to protect the river. And the life and health of the people, because it is not only that river has become, it's most of the course of the river has become totally dead. The water is unfit for bathing, washing, drinking, or irrigational purposes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so it is so bad. And these scientific reports are coming to the court, and it is astonishing that what are we playing? Why are we doing all these things? things with the water which we and the river which we worship.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, when you think about it, people have great reverence for the river.
Yes.
I mean, if you go to Haridwar and Uttaranchal,
yes,
and Uttar Pradesh, you will find Ganga Aarti going on. People, I mean, you have such fantastic Ganga Aarti ceremonies in Haridwar,
yes,
in Rishikesh. People throng in huge numbers.
Yes.
But at the same time, they disconnecting the truth of what it is to live truly in worship of the river. You cannot adore the river in words, but desecrate the river in action.
Yes.
And I think this whole exercise, one, it has brought now law. You have the National Green Tribunal,
yes,
giving a landmark judgment which prohibited waste disposal within 500 meters of the river and designated that 100 meters from the river as a no development zone from this entire stretch from Haridwar to Unnao. So I think that is a fantastic achievement and something we really definitely have to be proud of, and you have been God's instrument in making this happen. But after all these things, I mean, are you seeing now, sir, some revival of the river's pristinity? Is it coming back? You know, are we able to prevent any more damage of the river? Are we able to in some way recoup whatever we have lost of this precious river?
You see that I'm optimist always because that is the only hope, is the, you know, which gives us sustenance and strength to work further. My whole worry is that it is, the court has given a roadmap to the country, to the all the state governments and to the government of India, that you do this the days together. The earlier the Supreme Court was heard it for days together in the Supreme Court, which it was heard. Then the Supreme Court said that now the National Green Tribunal has been set up, so it was transferred this case more hearings should be given, so that the decisions should take should be taken at
faster,
the earliest, faster.
Mm-hmm.
That happened, but my concern is that despite this roadmap, mm-hmm, the judgment about 543 pages judgment,
mm-hmm,
and all those, you know, things, the directions at various times and all that,
mm-hmm,
you see that the municipal corporations, the municipalities, the towns, they are very indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
And the two is that because they are indifferent, because the state governments, they have become insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Then the central government, the government of India, because it is a national river, we can't create a Gangaji again.
Yeah. No
way. Mother Earth. We,
yes,
can't create.
Yes.
And so what we have to do? We have to only take care of the river. And the river is nourishing this whole civilization for the last thousands of years. And that message, if it goes into the mind of the politicians, political leadership, and the bureaucrats, those who have to govern, those who,
yes,
have to rule, then the things can change. But,
yes,
unfortunately, I don't know, they are still in deep sleep, you know, and how that,
yes,
despite the court directions and the NGT directions and other concern of the other people, still, you know, that the governments have not taken serious
as
steps
much action
to,
as you,
yes,
would want.
Yes.
I mean, when you look at it, yes, successive governments have allocated huge amount of
huge
funds.
Huge amounts. And the court directed that do this.
Yes,
and,
sir,
that was done.
Yes.
And still now the money has been, is going waste.
I mean, you have even the current government having the Namami Ganga project, 20,000 crores. I mean, it's a huge amount.
Yes, it is a huge amount. You see that Gangaji does not need money. It is that the people people, those who, if we...
Gangaji needs true devotion.
Yes, true devotion.
True devotion.
It is not a false way of getting votes, you know. When the elections will come, each party will come and say, we will make the river clean. And
when you think about it, what I feel many times is, what we also need, apart from, you know, spending time, energy, effort to save, for example, a river like Mother Ganga, maybe what we also need to do is to go to the root of the problem and, you know, spend much more time, energy, effort to ensure that the flow of goodness in every heart does not stop. I think there is a Ganga of goodness. That is what today I feel it has gone dry. If the goodness in every heart can come up, then why only Ganga? You know, all the rivers, all the flora and fauna of the country can be preserved. That's why I feel, you know, if we plant more sensitivity in every heart, then our trees effortlessly will be saved. And that is what Bhagwan always, I mean, right from the time Bhagwan declared his avatar root, this is what he was saying, you know, if we plant more sharing in everyone's mind, then our waters effortlessly will be safeguarded.
Of course.
If we plant more compassion in every individual, then our surroundings effortlessly will be conserved. So I think this flow of goodness, just like you have been submerged in this flow of goodness, in the sense you've been trying to do what you can as a single man, and of course now you've set up a foundation, so you have more people supporting you. But perhaps the moral regeneration of society being more sensitive, is perhaps a need of the hour, isn't it, sir?
No, this is a need of the hour, you know. And then, in my view, you know, that the two things are very important. One is that the role of the central government and the role of the state governments and the municipal bodies. These three, you know, that if their role is made accountable, that why they have failed so far. It is the law is there. Law, it is a there is a Water Pollution Control Act. There is a Air Pollution Control Act. There is the Hazardous Waste Management. There is Solid Waste Management, and so many rules and regulations are there. But it is, again, I will say, that political will is missing in a true sense. When there is a question of votes, then the elections are near, then everybody comes out from their slumber, and then they start saying that, oh, hum to Ganga ji ko bachalenge, hum to ye karenge, hum wo karenge. Aaj jo hai wo today, the situation is worsening because climate change. And this climate change is going to be very fatal, you know, and it is going to have a serious impact on India, especially in these areas, because once they...
I mean, our glaciers of Himalayas,
they're melting. They're very melting very fast.
Mm.
And the
flow of Ganga will be...
Yes. Sometimes the water
question mark
will grow,
if it can be what it was 10
they
years ago.
Yes, can't contain that flow. And then at the same time, what is going to happen with this whole civilization, with the whole this country?
Yes.
So these are the various dangers. And then if the laws are complied with properly,
people have to be more aware and more sensitive to abide by the laws. So I think that is the reason why I think, you know, it is really important now, the moral regeneration of India.
Yes, you are right.
The moral regeneration of humanity is definitely something which is very, very important. And so can I ask you, you know, yes, the government needs to do a lot, but people also, once they become morally conscious, then huge things can happen. And sometimes, as Mahatma Gandhi said, one man's goodness can wipe out the miseries of a million people. You know, it has that much power. So, you know, you are someone who has been at the forefront, you know, in spite of so many challenges, you have been leading this. So I want to ask you two questions. One, where do you get your inspiration from? Because you have shown that, okay, even if the government is lethargic, even if the government is not proactive, if you have the passion, you can make a difference. So from where do you get that inspiration? And what is your advice to all those people who also, like you, feel for the environment? They feel sad when they look at the state of affairs in the environment today. They also want to do something. So, you know, how should they go about it?
Yes, you see, the first thing is that I I have got strength, you know, whatever is there, it is my belief that yes, ultimately, as a Hindu, all over ashes are going to be there. You know, so then it is, and then what are we going to do? You know that, oh, yes, fine, where is the other place now? In the world, you know, that where the such things are going to happen, that everybody has to die. Mm. Those who believe as a Hindu,
they have to do.
And then if they do, then they should be more worried that yes, what we owed from our ancestors, we should pass on the same thing at least to the future generations. So we are failing in that sense that we, the ashes when these will be immersed into the river, what are we going to do? You know, because the reason is that the water is so polluted there. The Ganga Jal is so polluted. This is the role of not only the one person, it is the role of all the institutions also. In the institutions, in the sense of that those who are the spiritual bodies,
yes,
the religious bodies,
yes,
like there are so many the Hindu the swamis,
yes,
the religious,
yeah,
priests, all those,
right, they have many spiritual organizations.
Yes. So they have to pray, they have to come forward, because if one spiritual organization comes forward, the people will listen to them.
Yes.
Because those who are their devotees, they will come forward. And I think that time has come, that it is not that the Gangaji, which is being worshipped now through words only, a practical approach has to be taken by all organizations, whether they are not only that, it is not the question of Hindus only.
Yes.
The water is being used by Christians, by Muslims, by every person.
Yes.
And because it is the only, the water is such a thing,
yes,
that which has no caste, creed, or culture, color. So it is for everybody.
Yes.
It is necessity of life.
Yes.
And for not only us, for the other living beings also.
Absolutely.
So it's very essential that, yes, because the animals, they can't clean the you know, water. It is the human, we have
they
the
don't
strength.
They don't dirty it also.
They don't. They only take that water, whatever,
yes,
they need.
Yeah.
And then they go.
Yeah.
But only we are the people,
yes,
those who are in the race for modern development and all that,
yes,
we have forgotten our values,
yes,
and we are just trying to destroy our whole culture, heritage.
So when you think about it, you know, it is your rootedness to your culture, you know, you being,
yes,
a Hindu, you know, you felt this is where the ashes will go,
yes,
not only of mine but all my brothers, and that was something that inspired you to, you know, you take up this cause.
It is one of the factors,
yes,
but basically that water every day
we
the people
water.
Have,
yes,
to drink,
yes,
wherever the water is,
yes,
going.
I mean,
the
that
people
way,
have to drink, and
absolutely,
and
wherever there is water, that is Ganga.
That is Ganga. Yes, you are right. You are right. And then the tributaries,
yes,
not only the main, the Bhagirathi, it is the other tributaries. And the other tributaries are like Yamuna. Yamuna river has become so dead that its water is again unfit for bathing, washing, or any purpose.
Hmm.
So, and this Yamuna ji,
yes,
is considered as equally the sacred river.
Absolutely.
Because Bhagwan,
yes,
Krishna,
yes,
Lord Krishna, he
all the lilas happened on the banks
at Mathura, Vrindavan, all those places,
yes,
and the Yamuna.
Yes.
So how can we forget? Similarly, the other rivers are essential, you know, for everybody.
I think when you think about Indian culture, you know, because of our rishis, those enlightened sages and saints, you know, they ensure that every water body, you know, is made an object of worship.
Yes.
You know, if in north it was Ganga, then you came,
yes,
then, you know, it became Mahanadi, then
Kaveri.
Then Kaveri.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, you go to Madhya Pradesh,
yes, yes,
you have their Narmada. So,
yes,
so everywhere you have rivers which are like living deities. But I think what is really needed is to follow that in spirit, you know.
In spirit, yes.
To follow that in spirit, you know. You won't pollute your mother. You won't pollute if you really have that reverence for nature. And I think that is something that has to increasingly be created. That consciousness, I think, has to be created in the coming generation.
It has to come into every human soul, you know, that yes, you know, that it is our duty, because the all rishis, munis, and this spiritual saints, you know, they did so much work for these things, and they set values.
Yes.
And now those values we are forgetting.
Yes.
So we have to revive those values.
Yes.
And we have to really become the pattern on which the our rishis and munis and during Vedic time started all those things.
Yes. In fact, I remember one discourse of Baba. You know, in your speech also you were mentioning about Prakriti and, you know, the connection between Paramatma. So Baba was saying that, you know, it is wrong to separate Prakriti from Paramatma and think that they are different.
No, yes.
And Swami very beautifully gave the example of Rama, Ravana, and Sita. So where Bhagwan said, Ravana was a great scientist.
Mm.
In those times,
yes,
he had conquered the elements. He wanted to, he was someone who had the knowledge of 64 disciplines of knowledge. He was technically more learned than Rama, they say.
Yes, yes.
You know, so, and, you know, so you hear stories about, you know, they're going out of the earth, they were conquering world. So they were scientists in their own way.
Yes.
So Swami says that Ravana symbolizes that height of science and intellectual, technological capabilities and achievements.
Yes.
But when Ravana wanted nature without the permission of Rama, Ravana wanted to violate Sita, violate nature. And that is when Ravana got destroyed.
Yes.
I think, you know, in India, you have reverence for Rama, you have reverence for Sita, but we should know that every time we are polluting our river, we are actually insulting Mother Sita. And that is what happened to Ravana. Because Ravana insulted Mother Sita, the entire clan was destroyed. And you cannot approach nature without having the grace of God. Only with the grace of Rama can you approach Mother Sita.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is how Indian culture is set.
Yes, yes.
And so that was something, you know, it occurred to my mind when you were talking that day about, you know, Prakriti and Paramatma. So I think, as you mentioned, you know, all this which have come to us from our sages and saints, these have to be in some ways inculcated. I know you're doing a lot of work through your foundation, the MC Mehta Environmental Foundation. So perhaps that is training lawyers to fight these environmental causes, isn't it, sir?
Yes. We have, you see, that it was set up, you know, in the sense that to create awareness amongst the NGOs, concerned citizens, and at the same time the lawyers community, the scientists, and all this. So we do organize such programs, but it is not a funded organization. So we have to work very hard, you know, to do, yes, fine, you know, that we organize these things. And so far, you know, we have been able to train about 125 young lawyers.
Wow.
Not only from India alone, but from other countries also, the lawyers have come, and then the 6 weeks programs takes place.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to see that, yes, you know, we live in a very simple way, and we try to give, take them for the studies into the fields, because the environmental lawyer, you can't become, you know, in one day. Mm-hmm.
You have to
go
walk
deep, evolve.
You have to, as a management, as they say, you know, you manage by walking around.
Yes.
Your environment, you have to actually walk the green path.
Yes. And here, you know, that they have to see the best sites and the worst sites. Mm-hmm. And the worst sites are the polluted places, mm-hmm. the water, and then how they have to, and then the people. Because it is, when we are polluting the water, when the animals and the people, they drink the same water. Now you see, I feel that India is becoming a great hospital in itself. You know. It's a nation, you know, it's mm-hmm. a great, and I'm worried about that, because mm-hmm. now you see that cancer patients.
Oh yes.
And they in millions now.
It's become common now.
Yes, it has become a common. Mm-hmm. The other, you know, the fatal diseases, they are growing and growing. Yes. And then more and more and more and more hospitals are coming up.
Yes.
We only need the fresh air to breathe and the potable water, you know, mm-hmm. the pure water to drink, and then good food to eat.
Yes.
And all the three elements are no more near. I mean,
the basic things are so difficult.
Yes, you are right. You are right.
I mean, in spite of we being so intelligent, it's the paradox of the times.
Paradox, yes, you are right. And then see that the milk. Even your milk is not safe.
Milk is not safe.
When the animals, the buffalo or the cow,
yes.
they gives, you know, milk, because they have to take all that rubbish, you know.
Yes.
And then what, you know, there's no, and the mercury in the milk, you know, when even the child gets up and he sees, you know, the mercury, or drinks, you know, mercury or the other toxic things, you know, in it, it is very sad. So my worry is that it is not by harming the river water bodies and the rivers, we are not harming only those rivers and water bodies, but we are cutting our own feet.
Yes.
And we are cutting our whole bodies, because the reason is that how can we survive without them?
What you're mentioning is really interesting, in the sense that if people were able to see that connection, like for example, if I slap my face, I get the pain.
Yes.
Because it happens instantly.
Yes, yes.
I don't slap my face. But if I dropped this dirt on the road, and if I saw in the next 5 minutes that my son was affected with cholera or dysentery, I will not do it.
No.
But because it doesn't happen immediately, we're not able to see that effect. So people, you know, you don't take that seriously. But actually that is what is happening. Tomorrow, maybe 5 years down the line, somebody in my family has got cancer, and you know, in some ways, maybe I or people around me, we have only created that.
Created and the cost, the treatment is so costly.
So costly.
The whole one family, if one person gets sick, you know, in the family, the whole family, not only the family, the other in the family members, you know, the friends, the relations, and other, they also get upset, you know, they have
it's
to.
It's an emergency.
Yeah, it is an emergency.
For everyone.
Yeah. So that is why, you know, that I always say that we have to take, you know, that drastic steps in this country, and that role is only of the people, frankly.
Yes.
The people's responsibility. The governments have failed in performing their duties. Now the role is of the citizens only.
So citizens can, if they come together, they can do.
They can. You see that they can. Once even a campaign is required. So that the government should think that now it is not only that we can make fool of the people, but here it is the people are suffering, and the people, we have to set the things right, and that is the people's movement we require, environmental people's movements, you know that.
Yes.
And if that is done, something can happen. But my worry is that how long we can wait, because the reason is that in the hazardous waste. Millions of tons is being thrown into the water bodies, rivers, everywhere it is floating, the plastic. And then why can't the governments can't stop these things? They can do. And because it is only benefiting some industries, and all those, so like the plastic has been banned.
Yes.
And some of the states, but still the manufacturing is taking place. Why should it happen? So this is, it shows that there is no the government which is concerned about the environmental issues and the life and health of the people.
True. I mean, as you mentioned, if people come together, then yes, you know, then it can wake up governments. It can not give a choice also to the government not to act, actually. And I think what you also mentioned earlier, where you know spiritual organizations also come in the forefront and take up these causes.
Yes.
I think just like this Gogin conference that is happening here, so you have, you know, millions of people who love Bhagwan, you know,
yes,
who are serious about practicing Swami's teachings. And now if they take up this into their spiritual life, you know, into their life as they walk on the path of the teachings of Bhagwan, I think that will make a huge difference.
Yes, it is going to. It is going to. You see that this Go Green conference which has taken place, and it is, I think, that it is a major initiative taken by
International
Sai Baba organization. So such things should happen. But the only thing what my worry is that once somebody's my house is burning, and so still if we go on thinking that yes, somebody will come and extinguish that fire, it is not going to happen. It is that immediately more and more people, they have to come. Apart from this organization, many more have to come, join, and then you know see
it
that
it has
yes,
to become a huge movement.
It is a huge movement, like independent India. You know, when we got independence, at that time, you know how many people sacrifices took place.
Yes.
In the same way, you know, it is the second independence for.
There we got freedom,
fresh air,
but now for breathing,
for breathing fresh air, and having clean water to drink and reasonably good food to eat. So that is what is the revolution, you know.
True.
And it is a peaceful revolution has to take place, and so the people have to come out, and they should not sleep, and they should sleep only till you know they attain the goal. And if this goal, if we in this generation you know will not do, how our future generations are going to, they will not pardon, they are not going to pardon, as these generations are not going to pardon these past governments and the leaders, those who have committed blunders in playing the havoc with the people's life and health and the environment and the rivers and all those things, natural resources. We have the bounden duty that yes, even now, something we can save. It is oceans. We are all the oceans. They are also getting polluted. They are dumped. Everything is dumped into that. So it is very critical. The space is not. We are not sparing the space. You can imagine the debris which is in the space itself,
being left in the space.
So we have to be very practical, you know. And I think that not only that all over the whole there is a need for a united world to fight on these issues.
Absolutely.
The world has to unite.
Yes.
And there is no question of boundaries. It is a question of life and the natural resources which have to be protected for present and future generations.
I think the natural resources, you know, coming from the five elements, I think if we think of them as gifts, I think at least if all the people who believe in God think of them as forms of God, I think then at least in some ways you will not think of in any way insulting these elements. And if you look at Bhagwan's teachings also, from right from the 50s and 60s, Bhagwan used to always talk about sealing on desires. He used to ask people that, you know, if you want to serve, don't serve just by getting money from somewhere. You first control your desires, and with the saving that you do from controlling your desires, take that amount and then serve someone.
Yes, that's a wonderful principle, and it is a very very good teaching, you know, that it should be done. So that is what is the need and greed. This is the wisdom, you know, which has and this message should be spread. these wise words, you know, which have been given by Babaji, so we need that, you know, that this should be done. The only thing is, what my danger is, that we should not waste much time. The organizations, whether the Satya Sai Baba organization, my humble request is here, that all devotees, they should, their devotion to Babaji, Bhagwanji, is to nurture, yes, to protect nature, to love nature, and to live in nature. Yes. As it was that the go green, yes, I think that it is go green, live green,
yes,
act green, and then spiritually the whole thing will come up.
Yes.
So this is very
spiritualized life.
Yes.
I mean, when you're talking about spiritualizing life,
yes,
going green is a definite aspect of it.
Yes, it's very, very important. It. Without that, we can't even sit. You see that if my room is suffocating, you know,
yes,
how can I sit in
and meditate?
If my stomach is, you know, upset, you know,
filled with toxins,
you know, with toxins or anything,
yes,
we can't work. So this is a very important aspect that all organizations, I'm praying to all organizations,
wonderful,
and they can change, you know, the face. We should not depend on these governments, and they will fail in their own way because they are doing wrong karmas. The political leadership at every step is doing wrong karmas, you know.
But I think, as you said, you know, when more people come together,
yes,
you know, citizen activism,
yes, they can,
is unstoppable.
They, yes,
you know,
yes,
when that happens,
yes, I agree with you.
Then,
because the whole movements have been fought.
Yes.
So this is a most peaceful revolution.
Yes.
And this peaceful revolution can come when,
yes,
we all unite, that we, yes, don't want to, you know, be under the jurisdiction of the governments, to listen,
yes,
to them,
yes,
that they are going to clean. We have to clean ourselves, you know.
In fact, just like now it has happened in Prashantinilam, where you have people like more than 50, 60 countries,
yes,
who have come,
yes,
together to ensure,
yes,
that, you know, even as they spiritualize their life, they will ensure that their life also becomes green and serene.
Yes.
And even the Central Trust also has taken a lot of initiatives here, you know, having solar energy.
This is wonderful. You see, solar energy, wind energy,
yes,
and then the cleaning the rivers, yeah, or planting the tree.
You know,
it's very,
trees,
on every birthday.
Yes.
If we start planting, you know,
absolutely,
one or two or five. So in, yeah, each family, if they put every year the 5 or 10 saplings, you know, and then they see that they are fruit trees, the other the carbon sequestration trees, and so many other neem trees. Or whatever. So, how can we can green bring back that greenery in India?
In fact, I'll be, I don't know if you're aware of this, you know, just a few months ago, when the Bangalore Metro Rail Corporation,
yes,
was setting up a new track, and they wanted to bring down 108 trees, and then the Bangalore Super Speciality Hospital, our old students working there in the hospital and the director came forward and, you know, they transplanted these 108 trees into the hospital's campus.
Yes, yes.
So that was something which actually woke up the green social workers and green enthusiasts in the city of Bangalore, because it was unprecedented, and they did it with 100% success. So I think
it is possible.
Development is possible.
Yes,
it's
yes.
not as if we have to sacrifice development.
No. Nobody. It is the, we call about the sustainable development, and development should be
For happiness
of the mankind,
and with nature.
With nature, yes.
In harmony with nature, we can.
Otherwise, you know, how can we survive? You know, we are only talking over lopsided policies will not help us. You know, our political will should be a green political will. You know, not that the toxic political will. You know, or you know it is killing.
Yes.
Political will. It is no.
Yes.
The political life. The politicians should understand that they can't kill the human beings or the nature this way. Because they have come into power for a few years, and then in 5 years or 10 years, they will destroy the whole ecology.
I think slowly that awareness is growing.
You are right. But it is necessary, you know, now once the system is collapsed, it has collapsed right now. So, some methodology has to come forward, which should give infusion, you know, should take place, so that the people should come and they should have. The people are also losing faith in the systems, you know, and the, now the green movement, if it comes, like it has come in many other parts of the world, and there the green parties are working, you know, there is a time, you know, that the people should come forward.
In fact, that way, when you see what is happening in Prashantilam, you feel very
it is very heartening. You know that how many the villages where the work is going on, so many the constructive programs are taking place, and the green, the friendly actions are taking place. It gives a hope.
It gives
a hope, and that's why, you know, the people can come, learn, and more and more efforts should be taken all over the world, because this organization is spread all over the world.
Absolutely.
And I think that this is the time, you know, that it should focus more on this, and the more and more people will be will get attracted, and that is the true spiritualism, you know.
It's really heartening that for us that, you know, you could come for the conference. Can I also ask you, when did you know about Baba? Or is it this, I guess this is the first time you are coming to Prashantinam, right?
Yes. No, I heard a long time back, you know. And I was once or twice, you know, I was asked that if I can come over there. Mm-hmm. But then I did not get any time. It was not meant that I should have come. Now I think that because the Baba, he believed in the protection of nature, and maybe that you know that he has called me and many others equal of the same mind, you know, people have come over here and they are serious, you know, and that yes, steps should be taken. And so it is the once we love nature, there is no need for chanting mantras.
Yes.
There is no need for doing anything. If our actions are right, that is our spiritual growth.
Wow.
And that is important for that. If we protect nature, and nature will nourish us and our souls, and everything will be
wonderful. Fine. Just like they say, dharmo rakshati rakshitaha. If you protect dharma, dharma will protect you.
Yes.
If you protect nature, nature will protect you.
Yes. That's right.
Wonderful, sir. Thank you so much for coming to the studios. It is really our privilege that, you know, you could come to Prashantinam. And I know the conference is going on. It's a very busy schedule. It's a very hectic schedule, actually. But somehow you could come and squeeze a little bit time for ourselves. We hope that you will come to Prashanti often, and you would see and also advise all the institutions of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust, because the ashram actually plans to go green completely by 2020.
Wonderful.
Now the, you know, the hospital is going green completely in another 6 months. The power bill is completely coming to almost zero now, because they're going 100% solar. All the new buildings of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust are starting off on a green note, all starting with clean energy, green energy. The ashram has sewage treatment plants. All the water is being recycled. That's how you have the lovely gardens in the ashram, you know, to maintain the serenity of the ashram. So the ashram definitely wants to go the green way, and at the same time always inspire people to live within limitation. As Bhagavan used to always say, modernity is not consumerism, modernity is limitation. So I think that is the philosophy, that is also something that the ashram and this trust and the Sathya Sai organization and we in Radio Sai are trying to do. So your advice and your suggestions and your partnership will definitely help this process. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you.